before we get to our Bibles and get to the message, I want to thank you, Gina, for impacting your church through song. That's an amazing thing. And we want to impact our church through song and just do what we can to impact our church. And I wanted to bring these up here because Lexi made these beautiful brownies for her pastor. And no, not really. She does this every couple weeks for our building fund. And so she'll be outside after church. And if you'd like one of these delicious treats, you're going to need to pay for it. And so meet her outside, and all proceeds go to the building fund. And she just does what she can to impact her church, and that's what we're talking about. And just doing what she can to impact her church for the cause of Christ. So I hope you'll help her out with this. And I think we have here, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's a few. I think we're right around 18 of them. So if you, maybe 17. But if you'd like one, so they're going to go fast, and to the big dollars, so they're going to the big bucks, and quick, so get out there and pay her. It is just donation. She's just donating her time and her flour and stuff, sugar and chocolate and nuts. Looks, I don't know what else is on here, Butterfingers. It looks pretty good. So I hope you'll help her out and reward her for impacting her church, and you can impact her church too. So I'm going to put these over here for now. We'll get them out there after the service. But that's what we're talking about this quarter at our church, is impacting your church and doing what you can to see God move and work in this place and using us as vessels. And the truth is never, and I know that everyone would agree with me, and I just have to admit it, that never in a million years could I sing a song like Gina did. I can't. I could play one. I could play a song, hit play, and I'm sure that I could do that. But never could I sing one. And the truth is maybe I'm not necessarily a great delicacy of cooks when cooking sweets. I can cook some food here and there, but it's great that Lexi did what she could. And one of the things I believe about our building fund, we had an amazing offering a couple weeks ago, and we did what we could. And we started with just recyclables, 5 cents for a can. It seems so small. And I think we're getting close to raising close to $500 with that now. So do the math on that. It's pretty incredible. It's just coming in. Every week it's full. We take it. Every week it's full. And it takes it. Every week it's full. And we take it. And it's just been incredible to see how God has used that. And I believe he blesses that. And then we have the coin thing in the back where we put all our spare change and just little things that we can do for God to reward and I believe bless. And when you do what you can, God does what only he can. And so that's what we're talking about this morning. But I want to kind of take a step back when it comes to impacting our church. And we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to see a principle this morning that's necessary for any amount of impact when it comes to our church. And so often I think that we think that if I do everything I can, then I'll make an impact. And there is some truth to that. But the reality is if this isn't here, we're not going to make any impact at all. And we need this first. And so we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. And we're going to read all the way down through the end of the chapter. So Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I have told you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you for your many blessings on us. I thank you for the people of Kauai Baptist Church who desire in their hearts to impact their church, and many have in a great way. And God, I do pray that you help all of us to have that mindset that we want to affect, we want to impact our church. We want to do what we can to make a difference for this church as we seek to fulfill the mission that God has called us to do. And so, God, I pray that you help us to be bold today, help us to be excited and encouraged, and to do what you've called us to do. And I pray now that you bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. A few weeks ago, I got a call from a pastor from a small church in California, and they had had their building banquet. And just like we had a building banquet, but he called me a little bit discouraged. You see, they had a goal of $10,000. They only raised six. And the truth is he told me that 20 people come to the banquet. And that's pretty good. I thought that's a pretty good banquet. You know, that's an amazing thing. And you got to be excited about that because people gave money. Don't be down on people because they gave their money. That's great. $26,000 is a large amount of money. That's wonderful. But he was a little bit discouraged, and I asked him, you know, one of the things that with our banquet, and we've never had a banquet like we had a few weeks ago. We have banquets in the past where we had to repair the church property, and we were at that time able to raise, I think, $9,000, I think maybe $12,000 total. Not a tremendous sum like we had a few weeks ago. And the difference, I think, is because of what we were raising money for, a new building. That's a huge opportunity. It's a once really... maybe once-in-a-lifetime type offering where we give for a new building. And we were motivated to give to that, and it's a special thing, and it's a wonderful thing. So it's a little bit different. I explained that to him, but I wanted to say, what's it for? And he explained to me that, you know, it was for items to make the church a little bit more pleasant and make the church experience a little bit better, and I think that's a good thing. They wanted to put some TVs in the auditorium for slides and announcements and some things and some beautification projects to make the church a little bit better. And I began to talk to him about why they're doing that and different things like that. But he began to tell me that he had talked to a friend, another pastor, who had explained to him that these beautification projects are really necessary if you want to see your church grow. And then, you know, doing some things, putting some televisions in the TV, one of the main things that's so popular that everybody seems to be doing right now is they put the distressed wood on the back of the wall. And they put and it's fine. I'm 100% for making a church look nice. It's great. I think you should. There may be a time when we put distressed wood on the back of our church wall, and it's fine, right? But if we think that that's what's necessary for the power of God to move in a place, we're sadly mistaken. I said this in Sunday school, take care of your church. Make sure it's clean. Make sure it's vacuumed. Make sure it's nice as you can make it. Wipe stuff down, make it nice, get new stuff if you need to get new stuff. That's fine. I'm 100% for that. But again, if we think that we're going to impact our community, we're going to impact our faith, we're going to impact our church because we purchased some nice things to put in the building, it's not going to work. We're going to waste a lot of money on these types of things if that's our mindset. I want you to think about that for just a second. Following certain decoration trends are necessary for the Spirit of God to work and move among the people. Now, I think if a pastor were to say that out loud, I think they would catch themselves and say, you know, that's wrong. But that's what we do. And that's where we put our energy. And that's where we put our, we got to do this because otherwise the people won't come, right? Again, make the church look as nice as you can. If you want to put up a nice wall, great. I think it's wonderful. Good. Do it. But don't think that anything so superficial would be necessary and would cause the blessings of God and the resulting church growth that we so desire. Nothing like that is going to be the case. So that brings me to this question this morning, and that's the thrust of the message. What causes the power of God? What is necessary for the blessings of God?
What would cause our church to have true, genuine, Holy Spirit-led church growth? What's going to be the, how is this possible? Again, because if I can buy it, I want to buy it, right? I mean, if this is something, this is something I can get on TV, if I can call a number and have them deliver it, I want it. I think all of us would. Thing is it's not like that. This isn't something we can order off the internet. This is something that, this is not something you can get off Amazon. You can't buy this at Home Depot. It's not what, it's not what's, how it's going to happen. This is our second quarter of 2017. As I said, our theme is Impact Our Church. And the question for me really as we begin this quarter is, how can you and I impact our church? How can we do, how can we impact, how, again, I think baking cookies is a great place. I think it's great impact. I think singing songs is a great impact. But overall, what's the overarching thing that all of us can do? Because I can't sing like that, and I don't think I have the time necessarily or the energy to bake those goods like that. And what's the thing that we all have to do to impact our church? And then the Spirit will lead us to do those individual tasks that He calls us to do. That's the question. Obviously, you can gather a crowd with the right promotion and entertainment. The reality is, if I say, you know what, we're going to give a week's stay to the Princeville Resort. Have a drawing at church, and we're going to give away a brand new car. Just have to be there in attendance at the church service. Put that on the radio. Guess what? Boom! We have massive crowds. But is that the product of the Spirit of God? Is that true, genuine church growth? If any of you have a car that you'd like to donate for that cause, please let me know. But the reality is what causes God's people to grow in grace, and then also in number, because a church that isn't seeing people saved and baptized and discipled isn't a healthy church. That's not doing what God has called us to do. And it's not making an impact. So how do we see that both grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and also grow in number? I think that's important. Well, there's a lot of contributing factors, but again, there's one overarching factor that I'm going to preach on this morning. In order for you and I to impact our church, we need, as individuals, the power of God. You and I need, as individuals, the power of God. Now, if pastor has the power of God, then I'll impact our church. And if church leadership, if they have the power of God, then they will impact our church. But for you as an individual to impact your church, you need and must have the power of God in your life and on your life as you seek to serve in the church. It requires something more than what we can muster in our flesh. And it's the presence of the Spirit of God. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." We would say, yeah, it's not by our ability to do it. It's not by our power. It's not by our techniques. It's not by our decorations, but it's by His Spirit. That's how it's going to get done. That's how we're going to do what we're going to do in our life. And the power of God is displayed in the life of a believer who is filled with the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power, true, genuine power of God. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And the product of that is that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in the Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. But the power of God comes through the presence of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost of God. So the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God in my life is what's necessary for the Spirit of for the power of God in my heart, in my life. That's the key. So for a believer, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, came to live inside of us the moment we were born again. And that's what being born again is having the Holy Spirit come to take up residence in your life and in your heart. And in that moment, you got as much of the Holy Spirit as you're ever going to get. He's all in. He's all there. So to be filled with the Spirit isn't a matter of how much the Holy Spirit you have. It's a matter and a question of how much of you the Holy Spirit has. How much control He has of your life. Because He's all there. Now, whether or not He's controlling your life or not, that's the issue. It's almost as if I could illustrate it like this, it's almost as if it's like an automobile with two steering wheels. You got one, and the Holy Spirit's got the other. And only one can drive at the same time. You can't both steer. There's only one that can steer. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's not going to force you. If you're determined to steer that car, you're going to grieve Him, you'll quench Him, and He'll back up. All right, drive. Let's see what happens here. And He'll let you drive. But if He has control of the car, then that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's telling us where we're going. He's directing. He's guiding our steps. He's directing our paths. And we are being filled, and with that comes the power of God. And that's an important thing for us to understand in our lives. So if you're yielding to the Spirit in your daily decisions, then you will be somebody who is filled with the Spirit of God. Our text verse in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." I want to highlight a few areas this morning where the Holy Spirit will demonstrate itself in your life as you yield yourself to Him. The first thing, again, kind of redundant, but the Spirit-filled life is a yielded life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." The truth is being filled with the Holy Spirit means that you are going to have to continually yield. Now, the filling of the Holy Spirit begins, yes, by yielding. But it also continues by yielding each and every moment of the day. You don't just say, "Well, I yielded, I did that back in the day. I did that a long time ago. It should be fine, right?" No, it's a continual process. You have to continually yield to the Spirit. You have to continually say, basically, "My hands are off the wheel, you drive." And 2 minutes later, "My hands are off the wheel, you drive." And that's how it works, continually. "Oh, wait a minute, I want to turn there. Oh, my hands are off the wheel, you drive. Oh, I really wanted to go, oh, but my hands are..." That's how it works. Continually yielding the Holy Spirit of God as He directs and guides your life. It's important. You must constantly be yielding your flesh, and with that, your opinions and your desires, your dreams, to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that your dreams are worthless. It doesn't mean that your opinions are worthless. They just have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. So if they're wrong, you get rid of them, right? You run them by Him, basically. "Hey, I have this opinion." Well, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And you have to humble that. You have to yield that to the Holy Spirit of God. And He will direct your steps to the life that God wants you to live. By the way, our flesh doesn't like living a yielded life. It's constantly fighting to get control of that wheel. It's always doing it. "I want to have control. I want..." Because we think we know what's best for our life. We think we know the best responses that will help us. We think that we know what avenues and directions will best prosper us. And we base that on our experience, or we might even say our understanding. And that's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6, "In all thy ways, trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." And that's the key. Your understanding isn't the Holy Spirit. So yield that to the Holy Spirit of God. he understands better than you do. Our flesh, yielded to the Holy Spirit, is the best way to impact our church. That's how we have to begin. It's where we have to start. You know, before we start talking about the individual tasks that God wants to use you to do in your church. And the church is a body made up of different members. We're not all the feet. We're not all the hand. We're not all the eyes. We all have different roles to fill. But before we get to those roles, you have to yield. You have to surrender to the Holy Spirit of God so he can use those gifts that he's given to you in that function that he's called you to do. Because what we want to do at the very beginning is like, I'm going to impact my church and I'm going to impact it how I want to impact it. And here's what's going to happen, Pastor. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And I'm going to be in charge. Basically, that's how our flesh wants it. We might not say it that way, just like a pastor might not say that we need those decorations for the power of God to work in a church. But we oftentimes live that way. We want it our way. This is how, Pastor, this is what's necessary to see the power of God work. No. What's necessary is each one of us as individuals to yield to the Spirit of God. To yield. That's the best way to impact your church. And we need it across the board. To yield means to give way. Whew. That's not something you hear a lot, is it? You know, give way. Give your way. Get out of the way. You're in the way. These are things that we don't like to hear. You know, and oftentimes, even for myself, there's times when if somebody tells me, hey, you're in the way, get out of the way. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm fine where I'm at, right? That's how I feel. That's how all of us feel. Don't tell me to get out of the way. You get out of the way. Right? You know? I was here first. That's how we feel. But that's the flesh. And we have to yield that to the Spirit of God, to give way. It means you get your agenda, your mindset, your philosophies out of the way and let the Spirit of God's agenda have full reign. You let him move. You let him do it the way he wants to do it. And by the way, he's better than you. I know, it's hard to think that way, isn't it? But when we really think about it logically, we really break it down, it's obvious. Of course he's better than we are. Of course he knows how to do this better than we do. Of course. He's the Spirit of God. Hello, right? But oftentimes, we don't think like that. We think, I know what's best. I can figure it out. I have the wisdom. I have the understanding. I have all the things. I have the experience. I'm the man or the woman, however it works. But don't argue when things don't go your way. Rejoice that they went the Spirit's way. When you begin to model the Spirit-filled life, the yielded life, you will have a profound impact on your church. Trust me, you will. So the Spirit-filled life is, first of all, a yielded life. Secondly, the Spirit-filled life is a holy life. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, here's what the Bible says. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Listen, the Spirit-filled life is a holy life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If we are going to yield our members, our flesh, to the Spirit of God, the result of that will be a holy life. Now, the word holy is hard to define using our culture as a reference. It really is. Because there are things that are called holy today
There really aren't. Like cows. You know, holy cow. It's not holy. Right? Our culture doesn't know how to define holy.
But there is a correct and right definition for the word holy. And we need to understand that because God has called us to live holy by the Spirit. By His leading. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to live an unholy life. Ever. As you yield Him, He's never going to lead you to sin. That's crazy talk. He will only lead you to a holy life every time. The word holy means to be pure or morally blameless. Another way to describe it would be free from that which defiles. To be holy means to be, you're free from that which defiles. Did you know your flesh doesn't lead you to be holy? In fact, just the opposite. And we try, now, if we start talking about unholy things, and I say, let's make a list of unholy things, we'll list some things that we would list as pretty bad, right? You know, crystal meth, you know, pornography. These are terrible things, right? Human trafficking. But we often don't talk about the things that we're most involved in, at least that our flesh enjoys. No, we don't like, well, a little bit of lust here, that's unholy. We don't like the thought because we have it. It's our flesh. Now, I'm happy to describe your unholiness. There's no problem there. You know, that's great. I'll fix you up real nice. But for me, I don't like to talk about the unholy things my flesh likes. But that's where we need to begin. With our flesh. With me. And we need to fix me. Only the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you will lead you to a holy life as you yield to Him. Back to that text, first the one that we just read, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." The word conversation in the Bible means manner of life, the way you live life. It's not just your speech, it's everything. It's the way that we live our life. The way that we live our life is to be separate from that which defiles sin. We're to separate ourselves from sin. That's holiness. That's what He's called us to. Doesn't mean we have a pet sin. Doesn't mean we have a few things that we're okay with as long as nobody sees. It means that the Spirit of God, if we yield to Him, will lead us away from all of it. And this is where the rubber really meets the road, isn't it? Because there's a few things that we can manufacture to make us look holy. Right, there's a few things that we, hey, as long as I look a certain way and dress a certain way and act a certain way, everybody looks at me, you know what, they're pretty holy. Sure, because man sees on the outside. But genuine true holiness is the heart. That's where it starts. And it begins there. And if that's not holy, nothing else will be holy, no matter how you dress it. You can put makeup on a pig, it's still a pig. Right? That's the way it works. That's the truth about holiness. We want genuine, true holiness, and that comes from a Spirit-filled life, and that's what we're driving for. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're preaching about. Hey, yield to the Spirit, because He's going to produce that in your life. He'll produce the holiness, the free from that which defiles. That's why, in all manner of conversation, listen, if we are going to impact our church, we need to get real serious about how we view and treat our sin in our life. And yes, your sin. I know we want to talk about the person in the next pew. I get it. No, it begins with you, Buster. That's the reality. Amen. That's where the rubber is. It's my sin. You have to take it personally. You cannot continue to make sinful decisions without seriously impacting your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption." It is possible to grieve the Spirit of God living within you by continuing in sin. Absolutely. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, guess who's not leading? the Holy Spirit of God, which means you're in the flesh, which means that they live in the flesh, they're going to die. There's no way for a Christian to live, and you will not impact your church. Goes back to the whole thing is together. Sin is doing anything that God has told us not to do in His Word. That's what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law. It's right there. In our text verse in Galatians chapter 5, we actually read some of the works of the flesh, which are these, right? And when we live in the flesh, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're not going to impact anything if you're in the flesh. And so I want to look at some of these works of the flesh which are manifest. The first one begins with adultery. It's amazing that it starts here because this is what our culture is full of. Any sexual relationship outside of the covenant of marriage, including digital, which is something we have to add in 2017, which would be pornography. Our world's okay with it. It's amazing. Every television show you watch is about adultery. It just seems that the way it is. Seems like every relationship you see in the world has that element in it to some extent. We can't have that. If we're going to be people of God that impact our church, if we're going to make a difference for the cause of Christ, if we're going to use our talents to the extent that God wants to use them, we cannot have that in our church. Can't have adultery. It has to be repented of, forsaken, and gotten right with God. Second thing is fornication. Fornication is similar, but it's for unmarried folks. It's sexual relationships when you aren't married. And that will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to clean that up. Get that right. Should be something that Christians are involving themselves in. You need to repent of that. Confess that before God. And let the Holy Spirit lead you. Because again, you will not please God if you're involved in fornication. You're not. You're not going to impact your church in a positive way anyway, with fornication. And again, we got to get real serious about this. If we want to impact our church, we got to get serious about our sin. Get it right. Uncleanness is impurity. Lasciviousness is lewdness. Idolatry is putting anything before God. And again, that will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It could be your wife. It could be a child. It could be a job. It could be anything that you put before God. Witchcraft, playing with demonic forces. Satan does have power. It's been broken by Christ. Christ has gotten the victory. He's removed the sting of death. But Satan is a powerful being. And he can tell your fortune. He can. And if you go to him, he can do some pretty amazing stuff. He's not a powerless being. He's not in the bottomless pit right now. One day he will be, but right now he does have power to influence. He has power and he has forces. Don't go to that stuff. Don't do that stuff. Get yourself out of that stuff. Idolatry or witchcraft. Hatred. Pretty simple, right? Hate towards anybody. Variance is strife. Emulations is jealousy. Wrath is rage. Uncontrolled anger. That kind of stuff. That's the flesh. Strife is selfishness, seditions, dissensions. Heresies is a belief that is contrary to what is generally accepted by born-again Christians. Flat earth, heresy. All right? Keep going. Envyings, you're envying other people. You want what they have. Murders, that's pretty self-explanatory. Drunkenness, right? You know what that is? When you drink alcohol, you get drunk. That's a work of the flesh. Revelings, that's carousing. It's almost like a rioting type deal. These are the works of the flesh. Behaving in the works of the flesh will not impact our church in a productive way. It'll hurt our church. It'll not help us. It'll grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as become a saint." So if you want to impact our church, which is our, I think that's our heart. I believe that's our church's heart. We have to follow, we must follow the Spirit's leading to be holy in the way that we live our lives. So the Spirit-filled life will be a yielded life. The Spirit-filled life will be a holy life. And then the Spirit-filled life will have an impact on our church. We're going to continue as we go through this process over the next couple months and talking about how you can impact your church, how you can use your gift to serve the church in a unique capacity. It begins here. You can be the most talented person in the world, but without being yielded to the Spirit of God, without being holy by the Spirit of God's leading, not perfect, we're not sinless, we get that, but there's when we sin, we confess it, we forsake it, we don't allow things to reign, get rid of it. We have the attitude towards sin is that it's bad, not good. That's holiness. Without that, what good is it going to do? You know, you're not yielded. You'll be unreliable. You'll be here and there. Without then, you'll have a bad testimony. You'll be able to use your talent, but people will see a stained life. Because your impact is both with what you can do, but also with how you live. We want our message to be backed up by a life that's living unto God. We need it all. Trust me. If we can have the people of our church, all of us, myself included, yield to the Spirit of God on a daily basis. And that's why I say all of us now, because I haven't yielded tomorrow. Right? I haven't yielded this afternoon. Neither have I yielded tonight. Neither have you. This is a continual process. Hey, great. We've done it this morning. Praise God. You got to church. Praise God. That's good, but we're still going to have to yield in a couple minutes. That's the way it works. And we want to make an impact for Christ. That's the one thing I also love about Christ is maybe you weren't yielded in the previous moments. You can be yielded in the next ones. That's what I love about that. You can always forget those things which are behind. You can always repent. You can always reach forth into those things which are before. You can always start fresh. Maybe that's the way it is. Maybe this whole year you say, I've been living in the flesh. I've been doing it wrong. I've been trying to do it in my own works, my own power. I've failed. I've been inconsistent. I've been unreliable. I had a bad testimony. Guess what? Start fresh today. Say, God, by your Spirit, I'm going to yield to your Spirit. I'm going to yield to what your Spirit leads me to know in your Word. And I'm going to make an impact for you in our church. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to use it for your glory. This is where it begins. We try, you know, the truth is, again, there's nothing wrong with having a nice building that has modern elements. You know, before you get too crazy about some of this stuff, remember, we have running water and electricity. It's all fairly new stuff, right? You know, sometimes when I get on, people, oh, my goodness, you know, they have a television. Well, I guess we do too, but you know the reality is you know, nothing wrong with having modern elements, as long as we don't think that those things equal the power of God. That's the key. As long as we don't, you know what, praise God, you know we got the automatic lights. That's gonna do it. The people are gonna come. That's it, right there. We did it. And the reason why I say that is because we are embarking to put a new building here that will be fantastic. It's going to be nice. It's going to have a lot of the bells and whistles that we don't have now. It's going to be sweet. Pastor's going to have his own fridge. Going to have a lot of stuff. Massage table. Massage chair. No. The reality is there are going to be some bells and whistles that we can look at and go, wow, we've never had that before. Look what's going to happen with all the people of God now. And if we don't get squared away what is the power of God now, we'll never see it in a new building. The truth is I'm not going to try to pick on people here, but there's been a couple instances on this island where new buildings were built. And they're big. They have big acreage. They have big buildings, big square footage. Their churches are no bigger than ours. What happened? They had the new building. They had all the new stuff. They have the big parking, right? You build it, they will come. Isn't that how it works? Not without the power of God. And that only happens to the Spirit-led life. As a church body determines by God's grace, we will yield. You drive. You drive. You know, sometimes it's hard. I like to drive a car. I've been driving it for many years now. I think it's fun. I think it's great to turn the wheel and it goes where you want it to go. I like doing it. Depending on the driver, not my precious wife. But depending on the driver, I can be quite nervous as a passenger. Right? Making sure this thing is on right. Grab the handle up there. Ready to go. I kind of like to drive. And sometimes the Holy Spirit can drive in a way that makes our flesh very nervous. What are you doing? This is not the way. No, no. And we want to jump in and take control. Let him drive. He knows what he's doing. And if he starts to go down a road that you don't think you're going to like, let him go. He's leading you where he wants you to go. Trust him. Yield. Let him make you holy and impact your church. That's the message. I hope that as we start out this new quarter, I'm excited about this new quarter. We've got some fun stuff happening. Chief of that is in a few weeks we have the celebration of the Lord's resurrection. It's great. We're going to impact some things. But it has to start with the Spirit of God. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We first of all thank you for the Spirit of God. What a blessing. What a tremendous blessing. We're not left to navigate this life on our own. But by your Spirit, we can make an impact. And I do pray that you help each one of us then to yield. Yield. Each and every moment of each and every day. It's not a process where we said, we know what, when Brother Buddy was here, I yielded. Great, good for you. What about today? What about tomorrow? It's each and every day. God, the Apostle Paul said in the Bible, I die daily. That's what he's talking about. So God, I pray that you help us to yield. Help us then to be holy. God, I know that preaching on some of these things is not popular. I get that the world is perfectly okay with sexual immorality, with impurity, with lasciviousness, and with envy. But you're not. And by letting ourselves have these things in our life, we are grieving the Spirit of God. So God, I do pray that you help each one of us to yield, give ourselves to you, and live a holy life. And in doing so, we will impact our church. Not just our church will then impact our world. And so God, I pray that you help each one of us to begin this process today. We're going to talk about talents in a few weeks. We'll talk about all the things that you have for us, where we can serve, how we can serve, what we should do, giving, sacrificing, loving. All of it makes an impact, but if it's not led by the Spirit of God, it truly is vain. It's worthless. So God, help us to yield today. I pray that you bless this time of invitation. With every head continuing to be bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you this question, because here's the kicker. If you don't know Christ, you can't yield. You're a servant to the flesh. You'll always do what the flesh wants to do. So the question I like to ask to identify whether or not you are saved or whether you know Christ is this. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that your sins are forgiven? Then ask if you're a good person. Then ask if you go to church. Then ask even if you prayed to God. Are your sins forgiven? Do you know that for sure? Not just, again, well, I'm a good person. Well, that doesn't forgive your sins. I go to church. Again, doesn't forgive your sins. Have you had your sins forgiven? Is Jesus your Savior? if you've had some, if you have a doubt about that, if you're not sure, the answer is flat out no, I want to pray for you. If you raise your hand up, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. If there's anybody like that here today, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure. You know, it's funny because this morning we talked about the heavens rejoicing at one sinner who repenteth, one sinner who's saved. You think that maybe God would be angry at me for not knowing his son as my Savior. Truth is that's not the case. When you trust Christ, all of heaven rejoices. There's a celebration. God wants you to be saved. So if you're here today again, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Would you slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. Is anybody like that here today? All right. The second invitation is for believers. And I'm not going to have you raise your hand because I think the answer is obvious. You should be led by the Spirit of God. We should have that desire. And we should all make the decision today that we will yield. We will give ourselves to Him. And so that's the invitation. Is would you yield your flesh, your members, as the Bible calls them, to the Holy Spirit of God? Would you let Him decide what you should do, where you should go, how you should act, what you should love? And in so doing, He'll lead you to a holy life, which will have an impact on our church through service and through giving and through loving. Lord, again, I pray that you bless this church. Help us to yield so that we might have an impact. Thank you for this time. I pray that you bless this service and this invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books. We're going to turn to hymn number 162.